about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello there. We've been waiting for you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So, Pluto's not a planet anymore. What's up with that?
So that happened.
You like music? Well, to tell you the truth, I can take it or leave it.
The band has had a few different names over the years. We started, we were Teddy Bear Suicide, but then we changed it to Mouse Rat. Then we were God Hates Figs, Department of Homeland Obscurity, Flames for Flames, Muscle Confusion, Nothing Rhymes with Orange, then Everything Rhymes with Orange, Punch Face Champions, Rad Wagon, Puppy Pendulum, Possum Pendulum, Penis Pendulum, Handrail Suicide, Angel Snack, Just the Tip, Three Skin, Jet Black Pope. We went back to Mouse Rat, and now we are Scarecrow Boat. God, when I hear myself say Scarecrow Boat out loud, I kind of hate it.
Terrible name. Very weak, weak. It implies a weak will. Have you considered changing it?
And now.
Being terrible has never prevented success in the music business. Look at Biz Markie or The Doors.
Our feature presentation.
That's true. That's mm-hmm. very true. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Wednesday morning. What's happening?
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
Is Boner here?
Boner's here. He's in the other room.
Boner's here, and I'm here. I get to meet Boner.
What are the chances?
I haven't met a Boner in decades. Kidding me? Want to meet your miniature deer?
That name just keeps giving, doesn't it?
It sure does. Yeah. That was a great decision
it
to
really
name your
was.
Dog Boner. Okay, you got a Boner in bed every night.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, so the East Coast fell into the ocean yesterday, right? Based on the coverage, I mean, I guess there's no more New York City now. There's no more Washington, D.C. They're just gone, right?
Boston's gone.
Boston's gone?
Smithsonian.
They did have an earthquake that was 5.9. It's 5.8.
Which is large for that area of the country. Very unusual.
I can understand the panic.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, when you consider there's, I don't know, what did they say, 1,800 of those a year or something like that? At that size?
I can see why it would be a big surprise to the people it was happening to at the time.
Right, right, right.
But I'm not sure that it warranted full-time, nonstop, live coverage for hours on the networks yesterday.
Oh, I didn't see any of that.
I mean,
so they stood around trying to, and they didn't have anything to say, but they just.
Yeah, just, I mean, I guess they thought, oh my God, we've lived through something so traumatic. How could anyone survive this? There must be millions dead. So I think they were looking for the damage
right.
because they thought there has to be damage. Nobody could live through that, right?
And there were some cracks in the Smithsonian.
I think,
you know,
we all know what happens when there's a 5.8 earthquake. There's a few cracks here and some. You know, some books fall off a shelf
right.
and whatnot.
Maybe a chair moves.
Maybe
couple
a chair
inches.
Moves, right. Well, a lot of people took to Facebook yesterday with their theories on what caused the earthquake.
Okay.
Because I think you know, whenever there's a natural disaster, it's God moving his hand.
He's saying, hey, I need to send a message?
Yeah, to express displeasure with what humans are up to.
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's all God. Elizabeth writes, earthquake epicenter was in Mineral, Virginia. What is a mineral? It's said to be the building blocks of rock. Is that a coincidence? Absolutely not. Who is the rock of ages? Who is the cornerstone? Jesus Christ. America, turn your eyes upon Jesus and remember his words. Before Abraham was, I am. Not was or is, I am. In each moment he is telling us he was not God. He is the God of every moment. So apparently...
Wait, she's serious?
Yes.
I thought that was a joke.
Susan writes on Facebook, okay, liberals, what is your excuse for the 5.9 earthquake? Since an email came in stating you are blaming the bad drought in Texas on Republicans, wow, White House has liberals waiting. So now it's a political thing.
It's on.
Oh, my God.
Marvin writes, how long before the Christian soldiers mount their battle station pulpits and claim that the quake was an expression of God's anger with Obama's sinful ways? Before sundown, I say. So he was basically expecting... What the outcry was yesterday.
Right.
Are you guys surprised it hasn't been blamed on the gays yet?
I didn't think it would be blamed on anyone.
I didn't either. This is all a shock to me.
No, it's the gay. It's the homos. Are you kidding me? What's God going to do with the homos? He's got to send a message.
But those are the same people every time that blame it.
Wonice writes, her name is Wonice, by the way, W-O-N-I-S-E, Wonice.
I blame it on her name.
All right.
Her last name is Butts.
All
maybe
right.
That's part of the anger here. The East Coast just had an earthquake, 5.8 or 5.9. I hope you are listening to what God is saying to us. So, world, wake up and repent. God is not playing. He is serious. Stop accepting everything. It is not there. Same-sex marriage is not right. Never heard of two men or two women being together. It is not God. Get your life in order.
So when we had earthquakes 60 years ago, big ones,
right?
And gay marriage was not on the table.
Right.
What was it then?
Other things.
And it goes on and on. I mean, you can find hundreds of these. Voltaire writes, this happened because y'all females turned in bi and les. Accepting gay marriage 50 years, no earthquake. Now look what happened.
Wow.
So anyway, so good times is what I'm saying.
My favorite quote is, hey, Earth, not cool.
Well, that's better. That's much better.
That I can get behind.
At least you're speaking to the Earth.
I appreciate that we have prophets among us who can interpret the day's events and bring them into sharp focus for us, because I just thought, oh, it has to do with plate tectonics. It has to do with the Earth moving.
It's a random situation.
It's something that happens. Yeah. It's just going to let off some steam underground, and eventually the Earth's going to move, because that's what happens everywhere in the world.
Well, yeah. There are a lot of simple people in this world.
But now
like
I know
you.
it's the Obama crap and the gays.
And the gays.
Exactly.
It ain't natural!
That guy's all happy today. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
He actually speaks well English.
That's true. We have Bean's Death Corner on the program
today. Yeah.
Who loves death. He really does.
I may have to update it with the thousands that perished yesterday in that horrible earthquake.
Good point.
We have Muggs the Show Killer on today's program.
We have that on every program.
It's a new feature. Celebrity Tippers. What are celebrities like when they come in and eat at your restaurant? We have a lot of waiters and waitresses who, you know, I'm sure they wait on celebrities. And there was just a list out of the worst tippers. And so we're going to talk about bad and good coming up this morning.
Now, we're talking about just the tip, right?
Yes, yeah. We are.
Okay. Not how much the meal is what I'm saying.
That's correct.
What are you thinking?
It's all in, you know, it's connected.
Okay.
Matt Money Smith will be here talking about sports.
Fantastic.
We have I Love Cats magazine, which has, I'm not making this up, Poetry Corner.
Oh, of course it does.
Poetry Corner.
You've got to write a poem to your cat.
When you hear these poems about cats, your head will explode. You know all of the quotes that Beam was just saying about the earthquake? I Love Cats is 100 times worse. So we'll talk about that today. And we have Jack Osborne on the program today.
Fantastic.
Who has done a documentary called God Bless Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh. I agree with that.
So that's coming up today as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman taking a couple of days off this week. Producer Alex filling in on the Showbiz right now. Hey, Alex.
Good morning.
Look at Alex at this time of day. Wide awake.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is what you miss when you're on the island.
I guess so.
You're welcome. So I hate to start off the showbiz with some sad news, but we have to talk about Uncle Frank.
Yeah.
Uncle Frank, as you may know.
What a bummer.
From Jimmy Kimmel Live. Uncle Frank passed away yesterday at 77 years old. He was a former police officer who Jimmy asked to move out to Los Angeles and come join him on his late night talk show. A statement from ABC read, Frank was beloved by his coworkers and considered an uncle to all. His kindness and humor will be missed by everyone he touched. Frank worked for 20 years as a police officer and then a security guard in Las Vegas and at St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan, which if you've ever been is no joke, to be a security guard in that cathedral. He was often paired in comedy bits with Guillermo, the real-life parking lot security guard. His former wife, Chippy, they would go on adventures together, work on a dairy farm, or learn karate or self-defense, which is one of my personal favorites. Frank is survived by his three daughters and a newborn granddaughter.
So, yeah, Frank, I was very sad to hear about that. Frank was awesome. And, you know, Jimmy, like all good Italians, got the job in Hollywood and brought his entire family out to come work on it.
Yeah.
You know, Cousin Sal and Uncle Frank and everything. But Frank was awesome on that TV show. It wasn't just he got the job because he was Jimmy's uncle. He was hilarious.
But it wasn't an act. I think that's why Jimmy's show resonates with a lot of
people.
Exactly. A lot of people have families like that that are extended and crazy, and they all kind of work together. So we love you, Frank. All right. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Divorced?
Now they're not separating. They're not getting
a
divorce so much as not really. TMZ says Will and Jada are having significant problems in their marriage. But...
That's
have not made a decision to separate yet.
That's a let's roll it out slowly. Don't you think?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. That's your mother-in-law's on the roof. That's what that is.
TMZ beat us to the press release. Hang on. So according to sources connected to the couple, separation is definitely a possibility. And also, Will, Jada, and all the kids are going on a big family vacation, which apparently is a last-ditch effort to sort of...
Well, it gives them a chance to say goodbye to one
another. Bring the family together and go, okay, so who gets Jada? Who gets the house in Hawaii? You get Carlton. It's all good. Tony Bennett is going to make an appearance at the MTV VMA... VMAs this weekend. Tony will be participating in a special tribute to Amy Winehouse. Tony will introduce the tribute to Amy, which will contain footage from their March recording session together as they worked on a version of the tune Body and Soul for Tony Bennett's upcoming Duets 2 album.
That was Amy Winehouse's last studio performance.
Yeah. Tony said it was a thrill to record with Amy, and that Body and Soul is a testament to her artistic genius and her brilliance as one of the most honest musicians he has ever met. This will be Tony's first appearance at the VMA since 1993.
Dude.
Go Tony. Wow. Tony Bennett outlived Amy Winehouse, all I'm saying. The VMAs, if you do want to watch, are this Sunday at 9 p.m. on MTV from the Nokia Theater.
No host, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going to happen there.
These announcers,
but you
a
know
lot
what?
Times.
I think that's exciting. Just you know what? Let Lady Gaga go out willy nilly and just give her a microphone.
But I think it's also cool. Not that Russell Brand did a great job when he hosted it, but it's also nice when you have somebody you're looking for, like a Chris Rock or somebody you're looking forward to seeing what they do, riffing on the material for the year.
I think it's hard when you hire someone like Russell Brand to be Russell, and then the day of the show tell him, "Don't be yourself. Everything we told you, you know, harness that in, and now just be an MTV sort of press machine."
Right.
So
I'm not feeling a big buzz this year in terms of guess who's back together to perform for the first time in 20 years on the show or, you know, something like that we're
really
excited about.
I know Chris Brown is performing and he said he's going to get crazy.
All right. Uh-oh, that's bad news. Bad news for the ladies.
Okay. I know, it's bad news.
He's going to get crazy.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. And real quick, 50 Cent is going to make an energy drink to help feed hungry kids. Go Fitty. The GU General has launched a new energy shot called Street King. Every time you buy the energy shot, proceeds will provide a meal for a child in need. They aim to feed 1 billion children during the next 5 years.
Wow.
They're not overshooting. No, maybe start with 3 million.
Wow.
I don't know. Street King is going to launch nationwide in September and will be available in grape, mango, and orange.
I like that it's just a shot now.
Go mango. I don't have time for 8 ounces of liquid, okay?
Right.
I have to do a little shot.
Wouldn't it be easier just to wear a condom than to try to feed a billion children 50 cents?
Yes, but
that's a good point.
The condom doesn't help the children that are already here.
Right.
I think he's trying to make them not die so much.
I got you. Okay.
And so he's trying to help feed the ones that are here.
And these are all his kids, right?
That's cool. Exactly. Happy birthday to our buddy David Koechner from Anchorman. Comedian Dave Chappelle. Dave, we miss you. Please come back
wherever you are.
Come back from Crazy Town. Actor Chad Michael Murray. And happy birthday to cutie pie Ron Weasley. Rupert Grint. Harry Potter. I love that little redhead. I'm Alex. That is your showbiz.
Nobody likes beer mug, right? I mean, that we can agree on.
Come on!
That's correct. Nobody likes beer mug.
I like him a little bit.
But he is finding new ways to destroy the Kevin and Bean Show. We will discuss coming up in a few minutes here. Also, I Love Cats, the magazine. Jack Osborne on the program today. And Matt Money Smith will be in here to talk about sports. That's all on the way. First, though, how about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death!
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
He really does love death.
I do.
I fully understand that, but...
I was very disappointed in all of the coverage of the massive East Coast earthquake yesterday that practically leveled the northern seaboard. I was really sad to see nobody die, because that would have just made my whole day. But, in fact, no.
You are the only person in America that felt that way.
We got some great death stories for you today. And, of course, you can always go to kevinandbean.com and read more and see photos and video in some cases. There's some pretty good stuff. And usually there's a couple of extra stories on the website, too, than what we have time for here on the radio. Here's an interesting story about a 26-year-old named Cassie who, sadly, lost her husband, Sean. They'd only been married a couple of years. He died of a sudden asthma attack. She's from Fayetteville, Tennessee. Kevin, you may have seen her on that TLC series you like called My Strange Addiction. Remember the people that eat crazy things?
Oh yeah, that is nutty.
Well, she's eating her husband's ashes. That's how she's dealing with
nope.com.
Yeah, she got him cremated and started carrying her husband's ashes wherever they went, took him to the grocery store, the movie theaters, the restaurant. Then one day she accidentally spilled some ashes onto her hand and she said, "Well, I can't just wipe them off. That's my husband. I mean, show some respect, right?" So she licked it off of her fingers.
Is that respect? Are you showing respect by eating your husband's ashes?
Since then, she has been unable to stop. She estimates that she has eaten at least a pound of his ashes so far, with about five more remaining.
Oh, my God.
She enjoys it now.
She should be parceling them out, I guess, so that they last the rest of her life.
Wow.
She also says, by the way, in case you've ever wondered what cremated ashes taste like, that they...
Chicken?
doesn't everything?
Yeah.
Rotten eggs, sand, and sandpaper is what it tastes like. But she can't stop eating it.
She's eating her husband. Cannibalism.
That really is ugly.
The end of the My Strange Addiction show, by the way. And again, you can see video of this lady and more of her story at KevinAmin.com. She does check herself into a facility.
Oh, good.
To try to work her way through it.
What kind of facility do they have for those people?
Well, I don't know. It seems like they'd be waiting a long time for their first patient.
Are you eating your husband? Stop here.
Here's another story that almost involves death. It's one of the strangest rape stories I've ever seen. A woman collapsed on a street corner in Kansas City. She felt dizzy and passed out. She doesn't remember what happened next, but apparently a guy walking by looked at it as an opportunity to hop on her and get him some.
No.
Passersby called police who were in the neighborhood. They came immediately over. The guy got up and started running away, still had his pants unzipped. When he was captured, he said, "I thought that lady was dead."
Oh, my God, that's so much worse.
He thought he was molesting a corpse, was not, in fact, raping a woman. His defense for rape was, "But, officer, I thought she was dead."
Wow, that guy's disturbing.
Here's a story. We've seen many like this before. This is just the latest in Stone Lake, Wisconsin. A 67-year-old man died. It was revealed the way so many are. The neighbors noticed that the yard hadn't been mowed and the mail had started to stack up. So they called the authorities and they showed up. And sure enough, the guy had been in there and had been dead for a couple of weeks. They brought in cadaver dogs, by the way. I'm not sure why, but it's good that they did because they found somewhere else in the apartment his 95-year-old mother. Well, she was 95, apparently, when she died 6 years ago.
Oh, man. How does that not?
We hear stories all the time about people who live in an apartment with... Now, look, I understand carrying the corpse with you if you want to use the carpool lane or something, but what's the advantage of having the person living in your house if they're dead, right?
Isn't that going to smell like crazy?
Yeah, that's ugly.
Apparently, he had come up with a mixing solution that he had soaked rags on, put the rags on top of the body, and she was pretty well preserved. Now, the reason they think he did it, by the way, as you can imagine, is the Social Security checks keep on coming. He was getting $1,128 a month deposited directly into his account from his mother's Social Security. So you don't give up that deal, right? That's too good.
Look at Kevin's
face right now.
Well, who does this stuff? Like, who are these people?
Yeah, it would not occur to me.
Think about it.
If somebody died in my house, I would not go, let's leave them.
the type
of thing you'd want to take care of, right? Here's a story that's actually been going on for decades, but this summer is the worst in years for the brain-eating amoeba.
Ooh,
have you heard about this?
Like this.
We need to start whipping people into a needless frenzy. The brain-eating amoeba is a real thing. As I said, it's been identified since back in the 1960s. They don't know what it does or how it does what it does, but three people this summer have already died. Two from swimming in a lake. One from brushing his teeth.
What?
The water apparently went up his nose. The amoeba went up his nose in water, crawled into his brain, and started to eat away at it and killed him. This is a real deal. The Center for Disease Control is very serious about this. Apparently over 120 people have died since the 1960s. About three die each year. Three have already died this summer.
Wow, that's so weird. How do they know where the brain is? How come they just don't start eating wherever they are?
I don't know. But I mean... You know, try not to think about that if you are ever in contact with water again.
Or brushing your teeth.
Right.
Oh my God.
And finally, we oftentimes feel bad for the poor people that died, the victims on Bean's Death Corner. But this guy had it coming as far as I'm concerned. I've had enough of these guys who show up at the air shows and their stunt is they walk on the wing of an airplane. The Selfridge Air Show was going on over this past weekend. And I think it was in Detroit, in the Detroit, Michigan area. And this guy's trick was he would walk out onto the wing of an airplane, and then a helicopter would fly, and he would transfer himself from the wing of the airplane. He would climb up onto the helicopter.
Sounds safe.
Naturally, it didn't work out for him. Todd Green was his name. He fell about 200 feet to the ground in front of a horrified 75,000 people in attendance. So because this guy's an a-hole and decides he's going to walk on the outside of an airplane, which is not what they're designed for, by the way, now he's ruined the weekend for all those people. My favorite part of this story, by the way, is the woman who was the spokesperson at the hospital where they took him said cause of death could not be determined at this time.
Man.
Because who knows? He could have had an ear infection. He could have died of old age on the way down. But he did go splat. You can see all these stories and more at KevinAndBean.com. This has been a brand new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Hey, party people. Thanks for having the Kevin and Bean Show on today for a Wednesday. Jimmy Eat World on the way. Also, the latest from Incubus. Remember a few weeks ago when we sent Beer Mug down to the red carpet of Captain America?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when we interviewed the American World War II hero?
Sure.
Right there?
Yeah. That was good times.
I'm actually playing some of that.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
To get 3 rice balls a day, and that's it. And they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing.
So that was how Beer Mug tried to kill our show that day, by disrespecting a man in uniform.
What do you mean? That was hard-hitting journalism, Bean.
But Beer Mug, what people don't know is in so many other ways, does everything he can to sink the already sinking Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh,
he's got a bucket in the water, and he's just putting the water into the boat fast as he can.
Here's the thing about Mugs, though, is that he so doesn't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Like, nobody purely wants to try harder and make things better than Muggs.
He just failed.
However, that's the opposite effect that happens most of the time.
Right.
So we have a new feature that we call
Muggs the Comedy Killer.
We were talking a few days ago about me eating Chinese food out of the trash, the outside trash. And, you know, I got the message. Most of you think that's horrible and would never do it.
Well, because you threw it into the outside trash,
right.
the one with all the raccoons in it.
I got it.
That's the one, and then you went and stole food from them that was already theirs and started eating it.
That's correct, yes, because it sounded good again. I needed more. But okay, I understand I was wrong, so nobody needs to email more and all that. I get the message. But we were having that conversation, and I was just taking the temperature of the room to see who was with me. And Lisa was with me, and that was exciting, except for you don't always want Lisa on your side.
Right,
I knew Muggs would be with me, and this is the conversation that happened.
But at least it's out of his fridge.
Muggs,
it's been.
Muggs has my
back. Oh, of course he does. Muggs eaten other people's garbage cans.
He wouldn't have even checked for bugs. He would have just started eating it in the trash.
He just would have crawled in and eaten whatever he ran across.
Right? You got my back.
All I got to say is, that's not brown rice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you work on
him.
That?
I'm sorry we went to him.
Oh, sorry we went
to him as well.
Man.
Yeah. So we got one yes, and it's Lisa.
Yeah, you don't want me on your side, right?
And the other one is Beer Mugs. We're just going to disqualify because that was a dumb statement.
Yeah.
Look.
Mugs.
Did you hear the beat that everyone took?
Yes. It was
radio death is what it was. It was a silence. So it was like being 100 million miles in space. It was so quiet.
Talk about being in space. As I was saying that, it was in slow motion.
That's not brown rice.
Now, Muggs, you were trying to be funny, clearly.
Yes, clearly.
Swing and a miss, clearly.
Clearly.
What did you mean by that? Because we were trying to figure it out later. We were all having discussions about what must have been going through your mind. It made sense. Listen, this happens to all of us. It makes sense. It sounds funny in your head. And then when you say it, all of a sudden you realize, not as funny to other people.
We sent it to the lab. You know, the guys on 13 who dissect the comedy? Yeah. They quit. They said, we don't get paid enough to try to figure out what Muggs was talking about here.
Let me explain what was spinning around in
my
head.
Great. I'm looking forward to this.
So,
is this going to be hilarious once we understand the thought process?
The whole time, yeah, sure, I could have given a straight answer. I could have given a straight answer. That would have been fine.
Right.
But the whole time I'm thinking, what could be funny? 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 I know.
You forgot that.
Muggs the Comedy Killer!
Yeah, clearly I forgot that, but
could be funny? Then you thought, I know.
I know. I could incorporate a type of Chinese food.
Right.
The topic.
Uh-huh.
With something distasteful in a garbage can like poop.
Okay.
What's poop's brown? What Chinese food item is brown? Brown rice.
So the joke, wait, so the joke was supposed to be that you were trying to say, oh, Kevin, you went out and got that food out of the trash. You thought you were eating brown rice, but it wasn't brown rice because it's been in the trash. It was poop?
Yeah.
That was...
Brown rice isn't a Chinese food, by the way. Fried rice is a Chinese food.
Well, there's that. Okay.
There is that, too,
thank you,
by
Omar.
The way.
Good point.
Okay.
Thank you, Omar.
All right, we're not being that specific. Chinese restaurants do have brown rice.
Yes, we are.
Chinese restaurants.
Your comedy in air quotes.
We're trying to dissect.
Mark's the comedy killer.
So as it was coming out of your mouth, you knew it was bad.
Right.
And then there's that deadly pause, and then Lisa says, did you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, already, did you work on it? Yeah.
Already she's looking at you like with such disappointment.
Because we had been going through the conversation now for about 4 or 5 minutes. So he's had some time to formulate what he's going to say.
That's not brown rice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you work on
him.
That?
Yeah, Lisa's mocking you.
That's bad.
Did you work on that?
I don't want to make any excuses, guys.
I thought it was some kind of and I don't want to get too gross, but I thought it was some kind of bug joke. And, you know, instead of brown rice, it was bugs. But here's the thing about that's not that comedy.
Yeah.
That's not whatever.
Uh-huh.
Really about 100% sex.
Okay.
That's a sex joke, right?
It kind of is.
Hey, okay. I'm going to get a vanilla shake. That's not a vanilla shake.
Okay.
It's a sex joke.
Got it.
Really, almost exclusively. I don't know that I've ever heard it not be.
What do you got there? A flashlight? That's not a flashlight. I mean, yeah, Kevin's right. It doesn't really work for
I mean,
Chinese
hot dog.
Food.
That's not a hot dog. Clearly. It's always sex.
Listen to you guys. You can just go away.
Well, I'm just saying. It really is always...
Clearly, I failed to take that into consideration.
Oh, you got a little mayonnaise right there.
That's not mayonnaise. Right. Muggs, I didn't want to threaten this, but seriously, if this continues, we're going to have to send you to the Seacrest show because it's not going to work here.
I don't blame you. I will happily go over there if that continues.
That's not brown rice.
He would probably like that. But we're here to tell you, stop it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stop it.
I agree.
So you hate it as much as we do.
Absolutely. I never want to hear it again.
That's not brown rice.
Well, you know we're going to...
Mark's the Comedy Killer!
Oh, you'll hear it a lot. Don't worry about it.
We'll talk to Jack Osborne. Yes, from the Osborne's family. Coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, A, is not fat anymore, and B, is a documentary filmmaker, and he has a new documentary about his dad, Ozzy. So that should be interesting. Plus, the worst celebrity tippers next hour. We want to hear your stories. If you've ever served a celebrity, find out how they treated you as well.
I'm not a cat fan. I don't like cats.
Nobody here seems to like cats.
I like cats. I'm going to speak up for the room of people who like cats, but I can't have one because my wife is super allergic.
Oh, okay.
I think cats are awesome.
I think cats suck because, and I'm a dog person. Love dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stand cats because they have so much attitude. They just look at you like, yeah, and what? F you. I'm sitting in this chair. I belong. You don't. And I don't like that attitude.
Well, I mean, if your goal is to have a pet who is just subservient to you, then a cat cat is not a good choice.
Happy.
Maybe cats don't like you because some cats are happy to see me.
By the way, you know how animals can sense if people don't like them or not?
Right.
I have cats can tell.
They're right on top of you.
They can tell. When I walk into a room with a cat, they go, that guy hates cats.
Yep.
And they know
get
immediately.
Get him. So I Love Cats magazine, then, is not one that you plan to be subscribing to.
I do not subscribe to that. And that sounds crazy, even for people who love cats, right?
It's so funny, by the way. Go to, do yourself a favor the next time, and they used to be called bookstores. I don't know what they call them anymore, but there are places where they sell magazines. You familiar with the word?
Yes,
magazine. It's
sure.
Actually on paper. It's printed mm-hmm. together like a little book with lots of pictures and articles. And they have specialty magazines that would blow you away. I mean, there must be 20 magazines just about golf, for instance. And I know golf is big business and a lot of people enjoy it. But how many golf magazines do there need to be?
Brides
magazines.
Yeah, same thing.
I can't believe how many cat magazines there are. I Love Cats, which is the one that caught my eye in some article this week, is not even the biggest of the cat magazines. I mean, there's Cat Fancy, which I think is the granddaddy of cat magazines.
Is that the big one?
But how many cat magazines do you need? But
here's the thing about this. Here's what's weird to me is that I adore, love, worship dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a magazine about dogs. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
Bean signed me up for Christmas with a dog magazine.
Did I really?
A year ago, yeah.
I mean, you play with your dog. You're happy. You're excited. Right. It's a good relationship. I don't need a magazine
really.
That tells me about dogs. It's really bizarre.
Well, I Love Cats magazine has everything you would expect. Gifts and products for cat lovers. Books about cats worth reading. Cats in the news. Upcoming cat shows. Articles on... I'm looking at the current issue. Helping Homeless Cats is an article.
I'm waiting for a specific category.
You can join the I Love Cats Yahoo group. Here's a column on keeping kitty healthy. Then they have doctors that you can write in and ask questions. Cat links, life with your cat. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Oh, Poetry Corner? Is that perhaps
Poetry Corner? They have Poetry Corner. Now, there's a whole different group of people. Most people who love cats don't get the magazine.
Right.
So these are the worst of the worst, right? These are the pet parents that everybody, you know, this is the woman that's going to end up with 35 cats and animal services is going to have
right.
to show up.
Right.
That subscribe to the magazine. Now these are the people who write poetry about cats and send it in to I Love Cats magazine.
Where are you in your life if that's a thing that you're doing?
I don't know.
Besides unmarried. I mean, besides that, where are
clearly.
You?
Clearly.
I mean, you can't have friends in a world, a relationship, a life.
What'd you do this weekend? Well, I wrote some cat poetry. And
why?
then killed yourself? No, and then put it in an envelope and mailed it to I Love Cats magazine, hoping that they're going to publish it.
What if your poem gets rejected by I Love Cats magazine?
What a loser you are.
Is that the worst?
Well, this is a real thing that is happening in the world. Look, we've got big problems going on, but I think this needs to jump near the front of the 2012 presidential. I mean, somebody needs to be addressing this issue. We need to stop these people,
what
right?
What do you candidates feel about I Love Cats magazine, and especially their poetry corner?
May I read a couple of cat poetry? Do you
Please.
Mind? Do we have some appropriate? Thank you very much for the music here. This is these are all from the latest issue of I Love Cats magazine, because you may be wondering, what can you say about your cat, right? Here's one. Here's one from Joanne Elliott. Here's
loser.
Her cat, Joanne Elliott. My Moggy is a lady. My feline is divine. But try as I may, it's always her way. She'll only come home to dine. Meg, my Moggy, is a madam. Moody, mewing marauder. Maddeningly mischievous mystery. Majestic, mighty mistress. Mine. Ladies and gentlemen.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Now.
That's about her cat, Meg. Here's Cheryl Kidd writes into I Love Cats magazine. Her poem is called Kitty Wisdom. I look into its eyes, wisdom arise, flowing into me. I see the eyes of a cat, just like that. I feel like crawling through the streets. Who knows who I'll meet? Life is good with my litter box and food. So I tell it like this. A cat's life is bliss.
Oh,
wow. Can I read cat haiku from people who hate cats?
Oh, is this it?
Can I counter
it? Is this an I Love Cats magazine, or is this an I Hate Cats magazine?
There's no I Hate Cats magazine, I don't think, but there is I Hate Cat poetry, and they're haikus.
Yes.
Okay,
so here's one that says it nice. The rule for today, touch my tail, I shred your hand. New rule tomorrow.
That sounds like it was written by the cats.
Haiku about people who hate cats.
This is unbelievable. Let me do one more. Greta Sterrett writes in. Her poem is called Split Personality.
Oh, dear God.
Purr. He rubs you in the face. Beer mug, you don't have anything to jump in with here? I say he rubs you in the face. You say that's not brown rice, right? Setting you in a trance, mesmerized by the eyes, follows your steps around the house, hugs and kisses. He leaves you be. He is now thundering in every which way. Collides into walls, leaps downstairs, gallops about the house like a lunatic, attacking our other cat with leaps and bounds, and then lovey all over again.
F you,
ladies
so
and gentlemen.
Much.
Split Personality by Greta Sterrett.
Okay, yes, Greta.
You're always typing. Well, let's see you ignore my sitting on your hands.
No, not so good.
That's it?
In deep sleep, hear sound, cat vomit, hairball somewhere. We'll find in morning. These are people that hate cats.
My God.
I didn't know there was a cat war breaking out between the people who love cats and the people who hate cats, but apparently it's on.
And there's a song about loving cats with the auto-tune. You know, nothing's complete without an
Let's
auto-tune
hear it.
Song.
I am a cat lover and I love to run. I'm I'm sorry, I'm being a bad cat. Again, I really love cats. I'm thinking about cats again, and again, and again, and again, and again. I think about how many don't have a home.
Oh, remember, this is the girl that was crazy.
Yes. Yes.
She started crying, and yes, she wanted to hug all the cats.
I know I should have some. I think about how cute they are, and how their ears, and the whiskers, and the nose. I just love them, and I want them, and I want them in a basket, and I want little bow ties. I just love them.
I'd like to talk to anybody who has this magazine. Don't you think that's crazy? I love cats magazine.
It's quite a specialty item, I'll tell you that.
Super specialty. I mean, we all love animals, but I don't. Do you get a dog magazine, Bean? Do you get a donkey magazine?
No.
A cow magazine?
No, I pretty much just have the donkeys and the cows and the dogs.
Well, I want them to be on a rainbow and in my bed, and I just want us to roll around, to roll around.
Good
Sorry,
time.
I'm feeling emotional. I love cats.
So that's, there's that. So
this has been Cat Poetry Corner. I met Lisa May's dog, Boner, here in the building today. And that is not a dog.
No.
That is too small to be a dog.
It
doesn't qualify as a dog.
Decorate him with bells so you don't step on him. That's for sure.
If you were on Mars and you saw an animal, that's what it would look like. Looks like an alien dog.
Pretty crazy. All right. Welcome in on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Ralph's taking a couple of days off. We're filling in on the showbiz beat. As Alex brought up last hour, we have to start by acknowledging our friend Uncle Frank. Uncle Frank Potenza, Jimmy Kimmel's actual real-life uncle, who millions of people have fallen in love with around the world because he is the security guard and an occasional actor on The Jimmy Kimmel Show. So funny on that show. Such a nice guy in person. We were lucky enough to have him in the studio a couple of times over the years. Frank will very much be missed. He was very much loved. He was 77 years old when he passed away yesterday. So that is bad news, and our condolence to all of Jimmy's friends and family who knew Frank. Another death in the news, somebody else we've had on the show. Did you guys see Joey Vento died? He's the guy that Ralph was so excited about when we had him on, the guy who runs Gino's Steaks in Philadelphia. Remember that guy was super loud?
Didn't we talk to him?
We talked to him because he has been in the news a couple of times because he put up a very controversial sign in his store that demanded that customers speak English when they order.
Yes.
Remember we had him on?
Oh, right.
And he was the king of the cheesesteaks there in Philadelphia at Gino's Steaks. And he said, look, it doesn't have anything to do with immigration. I got no problem with immigration, but I'm running a business here and it slows everything down if I don't know what the hell you're trying to say to me. Of course, he said it in his inimitable Philadelphia way.
Sure.
But he said the line just moves faster if everybody's speaking the same language. Anyway, he did pass away. He was 71 years old, and I don't know if this is going to be good news for the cheesesteak business or not, but he did die of a massive heart attack.
Oh. You know he ate those damn things every day for 40 years.
I'm sure he did. But you know what? He was 71, and I'm sure he enjoyed the hell out of the last 40 years. He started a food cart, with a food cart, by the way, and opened up the place, the Gino Steaks, in 1966. So you're just about right, Lisa.
Wow.
So R.I.P. Joey Vento as well.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Blake Lively are getting serious.
I thought you were going to say married for a second.
No, I mean,
not that serious.
These magazines, though, this is the problem with it. Every celebrity couple, first the story is they're getting serious. They bought a car together, some kind of hybrid, and now they're searching for houses. And then next week or month will be another story saying they're not getting serious. They're fine.
Right.
And then the week after that, it'll say they're serious.
Well, the way the tabloids work is, we've got a photo of Leo and Blake.
Right.
Well, let's write a story about them.
And how serious they are.
Exactly.
They had marriage and everything, house to it. Who knows? Maybe they are.
Yeah.
But I would take it with a grain of salt, as they are a celebrity couple, and that happens pretty much every, maybe every other day.
I wonder if Leonardo DiCaprio is the kind of guy who will ever get married.
He could be a George Clooney type.
A George Clooney type, exactly.
Yes.
Why would you, when there's a girl that you're going to be dating one day who hasn't been born yet?
Yeah.
So you might as well stay single and wait for her, right? 2011 MTV Video Music Awards are happening this Sunday. They're in Los Angeles this year. There is no host for the show. Apparently, Chelsea Handler was the host last year, and although I'm not a big fan of hers, the ratings were huge last year. The highest ratings in 9 years last year for Chelsea Handler's episode of the show.
Oh, and she was terrible.
Which surprises me that they wouldn't have done everything they could to get her back if she worked so well.
Anyway, they claim that they may still have an announcement to come, but I think you're right, Kevin. They're probably just going to rotate with various celebrities helping the show along on Sunday night. In case you're wondering, by the way, the lineup of performances for this weekend's show include Adele, also Lil Wayne, Chris Brown, Young the Giant, and Bruno Mars. And as we talked about last hour, there's going to be a special tribute to Amy Winehouse. Tony Bennett is going to be part of that, as will Adele and Lady Gaga will both be singing and talking about Amy Winehouse. That airs Sunday night on MTV.
Yesterday, the big story was Will Smith, Jada Pinkett. How could they be separating? Oh, no. What will we do? Us Weekly today says that they are not heading towards Splitsville, as they call it. They say that they are having trouble, and they're considering a separation.
I was shocked. They don't seem like a couple that I had.
Well, they have a very united front.
They certainly do. Yeah. Really? I wasn't shocked at all, no, because to me, the people who try to put out there how fantastic their, you know, relationship is, those people are trying to make up for something or trying to convince themselves.
Or they're just genuinely happy and in love and things are going well for them.
Nope. It seems to be
not
like,
a possibility.
No, people who are genuinely happy in love don't have to get out there and tell everybody how genuinely and happy in love they are.
I agree with that. But in their defense, they are asked all the time.
Right.
It's not like they are calling up newspapers and saying, hey, write an article about how great our marriage is. They get every time they're on a red carpet or something, somebody is going to say, hey, what's the secret to being so happy? I mean, they're kind of being forced into answering that question a lot, too.
Yeah.
I like them both. I hope that's not the case. And finally, for me, I don't know if you guys saw or remember the movie Snakes on a Plane. It was,
of course.
I thought it was funny.
Loved it.
And it was the kind of movie that was terrifying for a lot of people because they put themselves in a situation. Had that been a real life event, oh my God, snakes on a plane! How terrifying would that be? Here's a real life story that Hollywood may want to pay attention to. Two large cardboard boxes of bees were stowed away on a Boeing 757 flying from the eastern Russian city of, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, Blagoveshchenst.
I'm sure that's accurate.
To Moscow. Then the buzzing started. Passengers started to panic. Flight attendants scrambled to tape the cabinets shut. A senior airport official arranged for a slightly drunk trafficker to smuggle the bees across the country. He had bragged that he could pretty much carry anything on board in Russia. This was like a part-time, you know, way for him to make money. Hey, what do you need? What do you need moved across the country? I'll take it for you. I'll put it on the plane. I don't know. It just seems to me like if you're transporting bees, maybe just tape that deal up a little bit, you know?
A little. Yeah, what could go wrong? A lot.
Oh, my God. The plane
had to be fumigated. You can just imagine what it was like for... I mean, imagine you're on a plane. It's a 10-hour flight, and all of a sudden, bees start coming down the aisle.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know much... You know, I don't know what kind of bees they were, if they were the kind of bees that are dangerous, but most people don't care. Even if they're honeybees, they freak out because they're bees.
I don't like bees. Yeah. I know it doesn't bother you, but I like
love
bees.
Them. I love
it
bees.
It doesn't bother me until they're in a plane with me.
It's a confined space.
Do you just, like, grab something and put it over yourself?
Well, I'm just saying, Hollywood, where are you with bees on a plane? Come on. Couple of celebrity birthdays today. She almost won the most recent edition of Celebrity Apprentice. Oscar-winning actress Marley Matlin is 46 years old today. Hey, where's my
ding?
Hang on a second. There we go. I'm discombobulated today. Actor Chad Michael Murray turns 30 today. Comedian Dave Chappelle is 38. Please come back to us, Dave. We miss you so much. Here's a sad little man who's 76 years old today. Kenny Baker. Do you guys know the name?
Yeah.
Something to do with Star Wars.
He's R2-D2. R2-D2. Yeah, he is 76 years old today. And he wakes up every day going, please don't put me back in the can. Ron Weasley from the Harry Potter movies. Actor Rupert Grint turns 23 today. He is richer than all of us in this room and everyone we know will ever be for the rest of our lives, thanks to that franchise. Craig Kilborn turns 49, who I just read about yesterday as developing a new sitcom for ABC. He's a guy whose work I enjoy very much, but you don't see him very much.
Yeah.
He was, of course, the original host of The Daily Show. Craig Kilborn, 49 years old today. And finally, this one's just for you, Kevin. Daisy Chain turns 46 years old today. Daisy Chain. You're acting like you don't remember the porn star who starred in Sorority Sex Kittens 4 and All-Girl Psycho Biker Sluts. Happy birthday, Daisy Chain. This is the Kevin and Bean Showbiz Report. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. By the way, programming note, you heard us talk in the last couple of weeks or so about our breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That is going to be airing Monday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you want to hear the band performing live and talking about their brand new album, which is in stores that same day, called I'm With You. Breakfast with Red Hot Chili Peppers right here on Monday. Over 5 years since their last record, by the way.
Wow, that's crazy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, since Stadium Arcadium over 5 years ago. So we're very much looking forward to that. Make a note to join us.
We know that we have a lot of waiters and waitresses that listen.
Actors, Kevin. They're called actors.
Right, either. And last year, the Miami New Times did an article on the 10 cheapest celebrity tippers. So these are the people who are the cheapest. When they go to a restaurant, they rack up a big bill, they leave almost nothing.
Uh-huh.
And it's not really a list you want to be on, I would guess. The good people that they mentioned, one is Barack Obama. He tipped 35% at a burger restaurant. And Johnny Depp, who, by the way, this is just ridiculous, showing off, reportedly spent $2,600 on a meal and left a $1,500 tip.
Wow.
People already love him. He doesn't have to do that.
He has pirate's money.
He has too much money. But let me ask you, before you get into the worst, because I was thinking about this. The celebrities have a lot of extra pressure on them.
I agree.
Because people are going to talk about it. Because the word is going to come out whatever you do. But just because you are well known and just because you are wealthy doesn't necessarily mean that the people serving you deserve an outstanding tip just because you're rich.
Yeah, I agree. If they're a horrible waiter or waitress, I usually tip less.
But if they're, and usually these are big bills we're hearing about, which means they're in really nice restaurants, and that service is almost always excellent.
Right. Yeah,
that's
good,
a good point.
Good point, yeah.
So here's the list, and then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you served a celebrity. Good or bad? What do they tip like, good or bad? Number 10 is Rachael Ray.
Now, isn't that interesting? Somebody who actually works in the food business.
Yeah, very surprising.
She's on TV.
So she doesn't really work in the food business.
She apparently, and I don't know how you do this, she had a $10 tab.
All right.
What was that, a drink? What's she buying for $10?
Like
right?
Subway.
She tipped a buck.
Yeah.
$1.
Not even
yeah.
20%?
Yeah, 10%. 10%'s pretty low.
Bill Cosby, apparently. Left a $3 tip on a $350 order. Okay,
what?
Now we're getting into the...
I mean, look, there's no excuse for that. Unless he's trying to send a message that the service is horrible, then tip nothing. That's how you send that message. You don't tip $3. That doesn't make any sense.
Sean Penn is on the list. Apparently, he had a $450 tab and then tipped nothing.
Well, maybe that was his statement, yeah.
He's grumpy.
Could be.
He is grumpy.
He is grumpy, doesn't he?
I want him in the Three Stooges movie so bad.
Mariah Carey is, of course, bad. She rings up big bills and doesn't leave tips.
Mm-hmm.
Usher. One time, Usher was eating at a restaurant and, as a tip, left his autograph.
Oh.
That's just an ass move.
How crazy is that?
That's unbelievable. And not just, you don't just mean he signed his credit card receipt.
No.
You mean he left an autograph for the person. Hey, this is what you get.
Only, yeah.
Wow.
No money, no nothing. Jeremy Piven, according to this article, one time, left a signed Entourage DVD. Now, that's odd, right? I mean, who goes to dinner and brings the DVD of his show with him into a restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe, even.
It is. Does he have a backpack of DVDs?
Know.
He just takes them with him everywhere?
LeBron James, apparently, even when he was in Cleveland, apparently, this restaurant stayed open till 4 in the morning so that he could tip. I mean, so that he could finish his meal.
Uh-huh.
They stayed open for LeBron James. And many different times they said he has tipped, $800 bill, $10.
Wow. Hey, Matt, you hang on. We're going to go to you in 1 minute. Kevin, you're going to love the celebrity that he waited on. We're talking about worst or best celebrity tippers you've ever encountered. 1-800-520-1067.
Barbara Streisand, all the money in the world, $457 tab, $10.
See, now that shocks me.
Yeah, me too.
Aren't there, don't most of those restaurants, if you get over a certain amount,
put an automatic 18% or whatever it is? Yeah,
a lot of expensive ones do.
Huh.
Madonna and then husband Guy Ritchie left $10 tip on a $400 tab. But Tiger Woods is the all time leader, according to this.
No kidding.
Tiger Woods, according to this article, will often leave nothing.
What?
How crazy is that?
Well, he leaves the waitress his phone number, though.
Sure.
Right? We know that much.
Guy's worth $500 million, and he doesn't leave a tip.
What happened?
What has happened?
That's crazy.
Do you think it's just, like, people who are cheap and would be cheap if they weren't rich are just still cheap?
They're still just cheap.
Probably.
Yeah. And they don't care that people know or are going to talk about it, I guess.
But that's not a list you want to be on.
No.
God,
I mean,
no,
you have to be. You have, as a celebrity, don't you know that lists like this come out semi-regularly?
Yeah.
And that you're going to be on that list if you leave
them?
Why
don't
you just to save face when you leave?
And then you hear other people who 100% of the time go the other way and do the awesome thing, whether it's tipping or not. The Tom Hanks, the Angelina Jolie, the Will Smiths. Those are the type of people who always could not be doing cooler things for people.
Yeah.
But that's amazing. Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods just takes
it. All right, let's talk to Matt real quick. 1-800-520-1067. If you have served a celebrity, we're talking about great tippers and also awful tippers. Kevin, you're going to be very excited when you hear who Matt waited on.
Yes. Matt?
Yes.
Who'd you wait on?
Tyra Banks.
Yeah!
What kind of place was it you were working, Matt?
It's a chain restaurant in L.A.
All right.
I don't want to say which one. Okay. But she would come in quite regularly, and she would basically ask for a private booth. But because we're a chain restaurant, we don't really have private booths.
Right.
And but she'd always come in because she wanted to be private, but she'd wear a pink wig to not be conspicuous.
Sure, oh my
so that
God.
People wouldn't notice her.
Right.
Exactly. And she basically, on a $100 bill, she left an $8 tip.
Wow. Wow.
Jeez.
Were you bad?
No, it was awesome.
All right, just check it. Just check it.
It was awesome? What's awesome about that?
No, I'm saying, were you bad? He said, no, I was awesome.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's do Charles real quick, because he's calling about another huge celebrity on line three. Hey, Charles, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Bad celebrity tippers. What do you got?
Good, man.
Thank you.
Oh, I was working at a hotel, a real high-end hotel, and I was doing wardrobe for Beyonce. And
yes.
Up and down, you know, going to room, grabbing stuff for all week. And then at the end, she said, I'm going to leave you a great tip at the friend desk. She never left me my tip.
So you were in a hotel. So you were running a bunch of errands and stuff, or taking things to and from the room.
I was doing the detail. Yeah, I was doing security and stuff.
But in her defense, you did get to look at Beyonce for a week.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that a tip?
That's better than anything that money can buy, dude.
Yes, I did. And then, you know, it was wardrobe, so, you know.
Yeah, all right. No kidding.
Wow. You got tipped enough. I don't feel bad for you.
Well done, Charles. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Man, we got some great calls on the way. Please hang on. We'll talk to you next, coming up on the Kevin. But right now, we're talking about celebrity tippers. Kevin had a list of the worst celebrity tippers in a recent article. Tiger Woods came out at the top as being a guy who consistently leaves diddly. But we're looking for your story, since a lot of waiters and waitresses listen who may have served celebrities in the past. 1-800-520-1067. Who's first?
Let's start with Zach. This is unbelievable. This is a good one. Zach, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thanks.
Hey, yeah, I was working as a bartender a number of years ago, and we did a party for Disney Corporation.
Uh-huh.
One of the people there was Roy Disney, which is Walt Disney's brother.
Yep.
And also Michael Eisner. Michael Eisner kind of stiffed the entire crew.
Right.
And Roy Disney pulls our manager aside in the back and says, hey, here's $50 for each member of the crew. And there's about 25 of us.
What? $50 for every member of the crew?
Nice.
Yeah, he says, and I want you to take this, give it to your people, and tell them it's from Disney.
Now, is this real money or Disney dollars?
Cash.
Cash, how about that?
That's incredible. Wow, that's one of the best stories I've ever heard. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate that. Let's do another one to talk about a great tipper. We got Matt on line two, taking your calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067. Matt, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
Hi, who'd you wait on?
Kobe Bryant. This is a couple years ago, a chain restaurant in Orange County, and he left about $50 on the $100 tab.
That's pretty sweet.
Wow, that's pretty good. Nice.
Brought his family with him.
Right.
What's it like for a guy like Kobe Bryant when he goes into a chain restaurant with the regular folks? I mean, I imagine that the room is just electric with the news that he's there.
It's the open floor. He had his bodyguard with him.
Sure.
His bodyguard wasn't sitting down with him, but right next to him.
And then you pretty much assign a host, so nobody kind of approaches them either.
Right. Gotcha. All right, we'll let you go, man. Your phone is awful, but thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Deborah. Deborah is on line one. I think she's going to get us back into the bad celebrity tippers. Hi, Deborah.
Hey. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's thank up? You.
I've waited on, for many years, I waited on a lot of celebrities in New York, but Spike Lee was one of the worst.
Really?
He actually snapped his fingers at me like a dog to get service.
Really?
He's like... And New York waitresses don't put up with that crap.
Yeah,
you know?
So no kidding.
I snap back at him. I literally snap my fingers back at him. I go, you know, why don't you get it for me?
Sweet.
And then, so his table laughed, you know. And so when he went to go tip me, he gave me an autograph. And I was like, only thing I could do with this is wipe my butt.
And nice.
And his table yelled at him, so he had to give me money.
This is the best. That's why it's different in New York than anywhere else.
By the way, Spike Lee just seems like a miserable F all the time anyway, doesn't
he? He does, yeah.
He really does. Thank you for the call. Hey, I was talking about Will Smith a few minutes ago as a guy who has a reputation as being like the best to the fans
right.
and to the little people. Jeff, did that turn out to be true? Is Will Smith
good morning,
to you?
Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi. Will Smith?
Yes, I was actually a server, born and raised in California, lived here all my life, and he came into my restaurant, and I happened to be the ranking crew member, so of course I got preference on the table, and he actually was extremely nice to everyone. He signed a couple autographs, he left me a copy of his CD when he released it a few years ago. Very, very friendly.
But how about the tip? Did he leave you a bunch of dough?
It was only him and three other people. He left me like $50, I think. Not too bad.
That sounds good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Not a well-told story, but thank you for the call anyway.
Very poorly told.
But I'm glad to know he was born and raised here.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate
and
the hierarchy.
How he got the table.
The hierarchy of how the servers were dealt their tables. Matt Money Smith from Orange County. Welcome to Kevin and Bean.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Wow, your phone is great. You sound fantastic.
Wow. Phenomenal.
Sound like you're in the studio with
us. Yeah, AT&T. Yeah. iPhone 4. So I'm in, remember 2008, Lakers, Celtics, NBA Finals, Celtics win, 6 games, 131-92,
just rough.
Drubbing.
Yeah.
The week after that, a lot of folks from the Lakers go to Vegas every year, blow out their steam, so I'm hanging out, and I meet up with some friends at the Mirage Adult Pool.
Yes.
Who happens to be at the Mirage Adult Pool sharing the same space, the super VIP area that we are in.
Right.
But Ray Allen and all the Boston Celtics.
Oh! Yeah. Last people the Lakers wanted to party with.
Most definitely. There's no brawl. And we're there all day. I mean, we are there when the thing opens. We close it down 11 hours. I think we ended up giving our server probably north of $1,500.
Wow.
I mean, she had been with us for probably 12 hours, right?
Wow.
Just running back and forth. Food, jeez. Drinks, the whole deal. There's 20 of us. Ray Allen, Boston Celtics.
Yes. Yes.
Zero.
Are you kidding me?
Zero. And they
they
were comped everything. Zero.
Lakers tip $1,500.
Yep.
Celtics tip zero.
Zero.
That sounds like a story you made up.
No,
by the way,
and they were there. They were there just as long as we were.
Man.
And, you know, they were being a-holes. They were behaving themselves.
Wow.
Everything was great.
I'd be nice, too, if I was getting everything for free.
They just won the NBA championship.
And how much easier is it to tip if you get everything for free as well?
Pay for nothing.
Wow.
Tip.
Does that make
nothing.
It better that they beat the Lakers for the championship, or... A little.
Maybe they thought we were going to pick up the tip for them. That's just the way it works in the NBA when you lose a championship.
Yeah. Bad Boston.
Yeah, Celtics blow.
Gorilla's only releasing albums on iPads now. That's how they're doing it. They're so high tech. Freaking cartoons. All right, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Matt Money Smith will be joining us in about 20 minutes or so, talking all things sports here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's catch up with our old buddy Jack Osborne. Haven't talked to in a while. Filmmaker Jack Osborne on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you. Great to talk to you. I was actually excited when I heard about this documentary, God Bless Ozzy Osbourne, because it's about time the man got a new, fresh look at his incredible career. And then I saw that you were the one behind it, and I thought, what an odd choice. What's the story? How did this come to you, Jack?
Well, you know, I actually spent time meditating on a mountain for months on end, and then finally it came to me.
Yeah.
No, I was kind of fed up with the way Dad was kind of remembered from the Osbournes, and you know, he got sober and he totally changed who he was, and I wanted to kind of celebrate that essentially and kind of show people who he really is.
So the Ozzy that we saw, let's see, the MTV show started in 2002, right?
Yes.
So the Ozzy that we saw then, he was not sober for a lot of it?
Yeah, he definitely was not sober.
Okay. So he'd wander around and he'd mumble and they'd put subtitles up and stuff like that. And you think that's how most people will in this generation will remember him if you don't set it straight?
Well, I worry that that's the case. You know, his fans kind of, you know, a little bit an exception there. But
sure.
I'm talking like mass media kind of vibe.
Right. How did he feel about sitting down and being in front of the camera for a bunch of interviews again? I mean, I kind of got the impression he was a little bit burned out about being followed around with cameras all the time. Did you have to talk him into it?
He was open to the idea. And then when it actually came down to it, he was really reluctant. He actually got really camera shy for a while.
I imagine.
It took a while for the director, Mike, to kind of win him over almost.
Was it difficult? Like, I know for a fact that if I went and I said to my dad, tell me all the bad things you did when you were younger, you know, as part of the story, he wouldn't want to because I'm his son. Was that a difficult dynamic?
Well, I didn't do a lot of the interviews with my dad because we gave up so much doing the Osbournes that I thought, you know what, I don't think it's necessary to give everything away.
Okay.
I thought conversations between me and my dad should, for the most part, stay between me and my dad.
Okay.
So a lot of the interviews take place with, you know, Mike Picciatelli, the director, and they became very good friends.
Yeah.
It was weird. There was a very strange dynamic. And my dad used to call Mike the Nazi therapist. Mike would just kind of drill him constantly with these questions, and eventually he kind of got through the all the BS answers my dad's been given for years.
Is that what it took, is to figure out a way through all of that screen that your dad's been putting up?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he kind of, you know, my dad has been asked the same questions for years,
of course,
like 40 years now, and it was just getting through the the same answers that took a long time.
Yeah, we're talking about Jack Osbourne here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The documentary, by the way, is called "God Bless Ozzy Osbourne." It has screenings nationwide. Do I have this right, Jack? It's going to be playing in theaters, hundreds of them all over the country tonight, right?
Tonight, and then again on Monday.
And then again on Monday, you can find your local theater and buy tickets at fathomevents.com. We actually have some tickets that we are going to give away to this to Kevin and Bean listeners who are listening to the interview right now. If you want to go, you can see it tonight at Universal.
Nope. Can see it Monday.
You can see it Monday night at Universal City Walk. If that's convenient for you, you can give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. And first five people will win those tickets. Jack, we had your mom on a few weeks ago. She was talking about America's Got Talent. She's so good on that show. And we asked her how Ozzy was doing. And she said, you guys wouldn't believe it. He's in Europe. I'm not there babysitting him, and he's fine. He's texting on a cell phone now. You just can't believe how we brought him into the 21st century. And it sounds like kind of what you're talking about is we would be surprised to see how self-sufficient Ozzy Osbourne is right now.
Absolutely. He went and, you know, he got his driver's license. He went and bought, you know, a Ferrari, a cell phone, an iPad, and a laptop.
Whoa. Slow down.
Ozzy Osbourne with an iPad and a Ferrari?
Slow down.
It's a dangerous combination.
No kidding.
What is, his musical legacy is secure. I mean, he's one of the greatest rock artists in history. I'm surprised that guys like that keep going. Do you ever talk to him about at what point are you just going to retire and not want to go out and be the Black Sabbath guy or be the Ozman?
Yeah, he would turn around and tell you, oh, it's your mother, you know, when your mother stops spending money.
Yeah, and by the way, that's accurate, but go ahead.
But the truth of the matter is, he's been doing it for so long, it's all he knows. You know, it'd be like if all of a sudden someone told you tomorrow, hey, you guys don't have to get up in the morning and do radio.
Right.
You know, you guys would be like, whoa, wait a second, I'm so used to this.
Now, right.
He doesn't know anything else. It's, you know, he's been at it now for 42, 43 years.
Yeah, since he was a teenager, so he would just be sitting around going, wow, I'd rather be on stage than whatever I'm doing right now.
Exactly.
Amazing. Were there any surprises in our final moments here, Jack, from you of anything that was shot for this documentary that maybe stuff, something you didn't know about Dad?
There wasn't anything that I didn't know. I mean, we've always had a very open relationship, and he's always he's pretty much told me everything. But there was details that I didn't know, and especially because when we were interviewing other people, we'd get different perspectives.
Right.
And that's what I found really interesting, kind of the same story told to through multiple different people.
It does seem like when you have somebody who went through a long a drug phase, that to write a book about that, they do need other people to give
fill
their
in the blanks.
To fill in the blanks. Yeah, that's
exactly
the way it goes.
But that was the thing. Everyone's been saying like, well, you know, are we gonna, you know, his book came out and everyone was very popular and a lot of people read it. What's different between the film and the book? And the differences between the film and the book is that the book is just my dad commenting on kind of what happened, and then, you know, which is just his perspective. But we've got, my whole family, my aunts, uncles, my dad's assistant, everyone, guys in Sabbath, other old band members. So it's very kind of, it's complete.
Right.
For the most part.
Well, if you love Ozzy Osbourne, and who doesn't, this documentary sounds like a must-see. It's called God Bless Ozzy Osbourne, showing at local theaters tonight and then again on Monday. Again, go to fathomevents.com. And, Jack, I've seen you say that the plan is maybe to have it out even on DVD, maybe by Christmas time or so?
Yes, sir. Should be out by Christmas.
Sounds great. Nice to catch up with you, Jack Osbourne. Thanks for calling into the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, guys. You have a good one.
Thank you. Hey, Alex.
Ew.
Yeah, it is. Right. All I said was, hey, Alex.
No, because you do it creepy. It. You go, hey, Alex.
Why is everything I say creepy?
Because you can say, hey, Alex. or you can say, hey, Alex. But you go, hey, Alex.
The way you say it, I feel like I should be asking you for your credit card number after
I was just being friendly.
Should.
I was just being right. personable. I don't see people in person
you
very often.
You are creepy.
Not creepy.
Live with it.
Just a little bit.
Matt Money Smith will join us after the top of the hour from the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show. There's so much we have to talk about in the world of sports. And we're going to do that. But first, Alex is here in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Good morning. Anybody Call of Duty fans in here?
Yep.
Woo, Call of Duty. They're doing their first ever Call of Duty fan experience event. Not too shabby. 2 days in Playa Vista, September 2nd and 3rd. Caller 20 will win a pair of tickets to Call of Duty XP first ever fan experience event. 1-800-520-1067. This is a full-on tournament where you can win, $1 million.
Wow.
You can win $1 million. For your Call of Duty gaming skills, people.
You know what's funny about that is that the person who's going to win that is the person with the least life. Probably no job.
You know what I mean?
They spend 24 hours a day playing Call of Duty, but that's their specialty. They'll get $1 million.
Well, and bonus, Kanye West is performing.
Yeah.
So there's that. You can win $1 million and check out Kanye. So.
And haven't they also, they've recreated the game so you're actually in real life running around in the game, like shooting at people and stuff?
It's incredibly impressive.
It is. It's something.
So sad news this morning. I know Bean had talked about it earlier, but Uncle Frank of the Jimmy Kimmel Show has passed away. Passed away yesterday at 77 years old. Our Uncle Frank. We adored him. We've known Jimmy forever. He was as sweet in person as he was on the show. The statement from ABC read that Frank was beloved by his coworkers and considered an uncle to all. His kindness and humor will be missed by everyone he touched.
Here's all you need to know about how awesome Uncle Frank was. Aunt Chippy divorced him, yet still loved him so much and spent all of her time with him.
They used to hang out at Acoustic Christmas
together. Yes, I know.
And drink backstage and party.
Yeah, Uncle Frank was the best.
You may know Uncle Frank from comedy bits he did with Guillermo, the other real-life security guard. He would go with Chippy to a dairy farm and learn self-defense. He was a police officer for 20 years. Before doing this whole, starting this whole other career later in life with his nephew. Frank is survived by 3 daughters and a newborn granddaughter. So our thoughts are with Uncle Frank and his family. In other news, 9 celebrity penis names.
What? Excuse me, what? That was the worst transition I've ever heard, Alex.
My showbiz stories were out of order. I apologize. This is from Mr. Skin. We did not have time to talk about this article with him yesterday, but he released an article of the top 9 celebrity penis names.
I'm so sad Uncle Frank didn't live to hear this list.
I know.
Top 9. So these are the names that celebrities give their penises.
Correct.
Okay.
Number 9, Steve-O calls his junk Julius.
Julius.
Yes, I think of the Paul Frank monkey. Yeah. So now it's ruined for me.
Right.
Sure. Chad Ochocinco calls his Russell the love muscle.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
He also says it's a privilege for women to get with Russell.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Rainn Wilson. His penis is known as the fail whale.
Well, at least the women don't get their expectations too high.
I think that's awesome. Macaulay Culkin calls his Floyd.
Floyd.
He's called that since he was a child, apparently.
Sexy.
All right.
Anthony Kiedis.
Oh, great.
I know you guys are going to be spending some time with him at our breakfast.
Yes.
Calls his penis Anton the Swan.
Okay.
Anton the Swan.
He revealed that in his autobiography years ago, Scar Tissue. It's a reference to his clumsiness in the sack.
I'm a boner.
Gary Busey named his Big Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yes, and we saw that on Celebrity Apprentice. Yep. He made a reference to that, too.
Saw all of it.
I'm surprised he didn't come up with some sort of a wacky acronym for P-E-N-I-S like he does.
It takes too long. Like, if I was in the room with him, I'd be like, stop spelling it. Just get it going. Yeah. I'm pretty good with the penises.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
John Mayer tragically named his David Duke after the white supremacist.
Why?
Do you remember years ago we did that infamous Playboy interview where he had to apologize?
Was this because he wouldn't have sex with black women, or they didn't want to have sex with him, or something like that?
Yes. And in it, he referenced his penis being a white supremacist. So yeah, not good.
Sausage tastes good.
Vinny from Jersey Shore calls his Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Not very creative.
Not creative at all.
And number one, my man, Hugh Jackman, calls his Old James Roger.
Old James Roger.
Because he says,
there's a story.
Even from a young age, they look old. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. I don't think anyone else was looking for an accurate name, but all right.
The Old James Roger.
Penis thing is kind of a problem for me because I don't like them.
Okay.
Ah, how sad for her. In today's edition of Celebrities, They Are So Not Like Us, Leonardo DiCaprio bought Blake Lively a present. They've been dating for a week. And he bought her...
like a t-shirt?
A Prius.
A car.
$40,000 car. Seriously. Apparently, he was upset she was driving her big-ass Range Rover, and he's, you know, Mr. Green.
Sure.
So he bought her a Prius. How many women are driving around in Priuses in L.A.?
Yes.
Because of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Because they dated Leo one time.
Jennifer Aniston just bought Justin Theroux a $12,000 jacket that was James Dean's. That's pretty badass. You're wearing James Dean's leather jacket.
Wow.
They've been dating since May.
Wow.
What do I have to do? It's a week for a car and a few months for a cool-ass leather jacket?
You have to find a rich man. Your man sits at home playing Call of Duty all day.
No.
But maybe he'll win the $1 million.
I know. Just saying, people.
Pigeonhole him, but yeah.
Come on. And here's a public service announcement to ladies. Stop hanging out with Joe Francis.
Yeah.
Just stop it.
That's the girl's gone wild
guy.
He's
catching trouble. Yeah. He was arrested again. He was out at a club in Los Angeles. He was partying with some ladies. He saw three women getting ready to exit the club and walk to their car.
Yeah.
So he said, why don't you come in my car?
Mm-hmm.
I'll drive you to your car. Didn't happen.
This is a guy who's been to prison, right, for sexual assault, if I recall correctly.
These three women got in his limo, Hummer, whatever the hell he has, and instead of driving them back to their cars to go home, he then took them to his mansion against their wishes.
Kidnapping.
Oh,
awesome.
No.
So he had to turn himself over to the authorities on three counts of false imprisonment and one count of dissuading a witness from making the report in the first place, which is always creepy. The women say that Francis grabbed one of them by the throat and hair, slammed her head into the tile floor of his house four times.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with this guy?
He was booked and fingerprinted, and he was released on $50,000 bail.
His job is to get women to lift their tops. That's his job. None of this other nonsense.
Now, according to Francis, this is all a big bunch of lies, and it's a big misunderstanding. The girls were actually fighting each other, and he's got videotape to prove it.
Yeah. He has no credibility.
I tend not to believe him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Me either.
The first thing you learn, ladies, never get taken to a second location. Do not get in the car. Yeah. Just call a taxi cab. Seriously.
Man, oh man.
Happy birthday to our buddy David Koechner from Anchorman, comedian Dave Chappelle. We miss you. Actor Chad Michael Murray and Ron Weasley from the Harry Potter films. Rupert Grint is 23. I'm Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money radio program. How are you, my friend? Oh, don't start with me with the where's my money.
Come on.
Let him speak.
Let
him speak. Money, mother scratcher.
The season isn't over. We make the wager for end of season. Best record, Mariners or Angels. Who goes further in the playoffs, Mariners or Angels? Two separate bets. We've made them 8 years in a row now.
And I have won 8 years in a row. I was telling Bean this off the air a moment ago. With the economic straits that this country is experiencing, I have experienced an increased rate of return on my investment with Bean. Because he has paid me...
It's 100%.
...in pesos.
Uh-huh.
He's paid me in Canadian dollars.
Always tries to make it difficult.
$2 bills.
Uh-huh.
Coins.
Right.
A check that suggested we were engaged in gay, intimate moments together.
In the little memo box, he wrote that.
Because I still have the pesos, the Canadian dollars in my drawer from years ago,
they have increased in value.
Sweet.
Because the dollar has dropped. So,
I am your retirement plan,
basically. I had invested those in U.S. treasuries, they would not be worth as much as they are today from having sat in my drawer for the last 3 years.
Let me ask Bean a question.
Yes.
I know that you're a Mariners fan. Fine. Everybody's got their team.
Right.
And a lot of people are stuck with a team that just doesn't do anything, but you can't help it. That's your team. But why do you keep betting? You lost how many years in a row?
All.
To 10?
It's been eight.
Eight?
Since 2002.
Years in a row. Now, you can love them.
Right. But why do I continue to bet on them?
Not make the bet.
We had this conversation on the air yesterday, Petros and I did. He said, "What you know? You're now on the bandwagon again for the Angels. You're pathetic. How did you know you got on the bandwagon in 02?" I said, "The funny thing is, the only reason why I got on the Angels bandwagon
because of the bet
is because Bean's treatment of the Mariners in 2002 was so intolerable.
Yes, it was.
I love Mike Socha. He was struggling. People were freaking out. They had lost like 16 of 18 in June, and for some reason, I just blurted out, all right." We're gonna make a wager right now. The Angels will have a better record by the end of the year than the Mariners, and you will pay me.
And it was a lifetime curse, apparently.
Yes.
Apparently,
in that year, the Angels won the World Series.
Yes, they did.
And I've been with them ever since.
Yes, you
did. Yeah. Did the Mariners win the World Series as well in 2002?
The Mariners have never even been to the World Series.
How about that?
Yeah.
No. Look,
so, technically, can your team pull it out?
No.
Or do you owe him money?
No, he owes me money.
I definitely owe
if
him
he were
money.
Wise, he would take my offer of $49.50
nope,
right
I'll
now.
I'll never pay a cent less out of pride. Out of pride.
But if technically they can't win,
right.
Out of cheapness, you should go with $49.50.
Yeah.
We have to change topics. Look, I understand that I'm going to have to pay you, but this is like a colonoscopy. It's on the calendar. You know you've got to do it. It doesn't mean you're looking forward to it or are racing for that date to get here.
But you know what you don't do is schedule one again next year.
As a man who has engaged in wagering his entire life,
yes.
I mean, part of the reason why I have the nickname I do,
buddy, right?
I can say with great certainty I have never felt better than somebody describing having to pay me off on a bet as it being like a colonoscopy on the desk. I
mean,
I feel
hurts
because
you rub
myself.
It in so much.
I do.
Because you're the doctor who's trying to make sure the colonoscopy hurts. So that's what's happening.
You know, we got this new studded camera.
Can we change topics? Can
sure.
we please move on?
No,
this is very
this is
painful.
Fun. I'm enjoying this.
Money, I'm so glad you're here because we don't have a sports guy because...
What?
Yes, I know.
Huh? What? Well, it's only been since 2004.
Right, I know.
It
hurts my heart every day that we don't have a sports guy because there's so much stuff. We all love sports. There's so much stuff going on. We never get a chance to talk about it on the show. Let's start with 49ers Raiders.
Okay.
Let's start with that.
Okay.
What happened last week that now has the 49ers coming out and saying, we don't really want to play the Raiders anymore?
We're done with you guys. Well, here's what we've kind of come to the conclusion of, and we've talked to a few people about this, and they all, you know, the best guy to lean on is Tim Kawakami. He's been at the Mercury News forever, covered mm-hmm. the Niners, covered okay. the Raiders beat forever, and he said it's just a different element. When you go to a preseason game, you don't have your regular season ticket holders. They have no interest in going.
Oh, the regular season ticket holders don't even go to preseason games.
No, they're not interested.
Okay.
So now you've got people that normally wouldn't attend,
right?
You know, perhaps couldn't afford to attend. And I'm not suggesting it's a class situation, but he said there's just you get a different vibe when you're walking through the parking lot. So this is not your average 49ers crowd. It's not even your average Raiders crowd. He said it's just different.
Oh, this is true for both teams.
For both teams.
Okay.
And he said that you just got the sense. Plus, remember, preseason games are at night. You know, regular season games are during the day. So because this is all on local TV, you know, your national feed, Fox, CBS, NBC, Sunday Night, you know, Football Night in America, Monday Night, those are your regular season games. All the preseason games run in primetime in their local markets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As a local broadcast. So now you've got a tailgate situation.
People have had time to drink.
All day long.
Yeah, right.
The game is uninteresting
by
the second
quarter.
It means
nothing, right.
So it's, you know, it's the old... Clint from Dazed and Confused. I came here to do things, drink beer and kick ass, and you know, I came here to watch football and kick ass, and the football sure as hell has got uninteresting here in the second quarter.
But ever since the horrible Dodger Stadium incident, I've been particularly sensitive to fights at stadiums. And when I saw the video all over CNN of the fight, the actual video of the fighting in the stands, I thought, okay, that's bad. But then when I heard it got carried out into the parking lot and people got, was it stabbed?
Shot? Guy got shot in the stomach.
People got shot in the
multiple
parking
times.
Lot. I'm thinking, I mean, it's going to get to a point where nobody's going to want to go to public sporting events if this isn't brought under control. But how do you control tens of thousands of
people.
That's
the problem. I think there are ways you can. I think, you know, a well-lighted parking lot is much safer than one that's dark and has a lot of corners that are unpoliced.
Sure.
But at the same time, you're talking about 60,000 people, and I don't know.
Could you handcuff all of their hands behind their back as they go in?
I think what's happened is you know, kind of as the game has evolved, bigger, stronger, faster, fights have evolved. You know, I said when I was a kid, and we'd go to Blackhawk games, part of the enjoyment of going to a hockey game was watching the descent of the yellow coats to break up fights. And what was it? It was drunk guys throwing punches that weren't going to hurt anybody. They'd break it up. Life goes on. An hour later, when they're down in the drunk tank, the guys are laughing about it.
Right.
You know, now you get into a fight, someone gets their head broke, and someone's got hurt feelings, they wait for you in the parking lot, and they shoot your ass. And it's gotten to a point where people just treat each other differently.
Yeah.
I think it's inevitable that it's going to happen. It's sad to say that, but I think it's inevitable. I think that's just the way bad people behave now.
So this is a problem that's here to stay for major events.
Civic pride is carried over to sporting events that represent that city, and they take it far too seriously. You know, you can have all the players in the world say, you can't do this. It shouldn't mean that much to you that it's worth shooting somebody over.
Right.
But they don't care. You know, it's a gang-like culture where these are our colors, this is what we rep, and you have somehow defiled that, so now you're going to pay the ultimate price.
Let me just say this, too, and I don't know what happened in this particular situation, but there are a lot of times when the opposing fans go in and are a-holes.
Yeah, they
you know what I mean? Like,
they don't ask to be shot.
Doesn't mean they ask to be shot.
Head.
Doesn't mean any of them.
But there could be some decorum.
You know your surroundings.
Right. If you're going to the enemy's territory, you don't have to be a dick.
This is, and I don't mean to make light of the situation, but there was something that very funny to come out of all of this, and that is the Raider fans taking to the phones, you know, letters to the editor. These Niner fans, you can't trust them. You go in a candlestick, and this is what's waiting for you. It's like, now, wait a minute. I can understand that the guy that got shot was wearing a shirt that said, F the Niners. But at the same time, let's not go ahead and characterize 49er fans as being this egregious bunch that
like
commits great football
in.
Travesties against the
and
world.
And the truth is, we should say, most Raiders fans are not violent people either, or are going to cause problems. It's always a few bad apples in every bunch.
It was an opportunity for them to kind of feel
exactly.
many others have felt. Because,
that is funny.
Yeah, I mean, they really took to it.
All right, we got to take a break. Matt Moneysmith is here from the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show. We want to talk about what's going on at the University of Miami. We want to talk about the NBA. Remember that sport that used to be played, tall guys running around bouncing a ball?
No, not
you don't remember that? I'll refresh
your study it up here in a break.
Coming up here on the Kevin. Our friend Matt Moneysmith in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the Petros and Money Show. By the way, since you love to gamble so much money, coming up in the next segment, we're going to want your opinion to weigh in. We're starting an office pool on how long Kim Kardashian's marriage is going to last.
I'm going to go 3 weeks.
Well, we're going to discuss. Oh, okay. We're going to discuss and figure out what the appropriate guess would be.
Anybody take 3 weeks yet?
No. That's what I'm considering.
That's coming up, plus an all-new Beans Death Corner. Before the break, we mentioned the NBA, which is a sport that used to be played. If I remember, the Mavericks were the best at that, right? The Dallas Mavericks were the team that was the best at the NBA, if I recall.
Vaguely familiar. Yes.
The last year of the sport, though.
Sure.
They won the last one, so they're the eternal champs.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm getting, like with the NFL strike, I felt like there were some encouraging updates along the way that made me believe football was going to happen. I'm not getting the feeling that anyone's even really working on the NBA deal.
No, and they're not, because the owners see no reason to. You know, and that's the sad reality of it, is these meetings they have, you know, someone just emailed and asked, why am I not hearing about more meetings, mediation?
Well, that's always the question, is why aren't people talking?
Right, and the reason is because the owners are not budging off their position, which is a 40% pay cut, a reduction in guaranteed salaries, possible non-guaranteed contracts like the NFL has. You get a percentage guaranteed, but not the contract in its entirety. They want to be rid of all exceptions to the salary cap. They want a hard ceiling that you cannot pass, no luxury tax, nothing. And the owners are basically telling the players, you either accept our deal or there is no deal.
All right, let me ask you this question. Is this a different situation in the NBA because not everyone's making money?
Yes. The NFL.
In the NFL.
Well, the NFL is making an obscene amount of money.
Right.
The NBA, it's hard to tell because, see, they have this clause called, you know, that they can file with the government. They can write off the depreciation of assets. So not to get too complicated, but what that means is as a player gets older, his value decreases. And they can put a number on that. So they can project on their bottom line depreciation of assets somewhere in the range of $20 to $30 million. Now, they don't lose $20 to $30 million, but by being able to write that in, it certainly helps them get to this collective number, this aggregate $300 million lost by all teams. You take that out, and it's nowhere near that. Now that, and I hate this, but having said that, There are players that make too much money. It's just that simple. Your average player's salary is $5.5 million, and your average player contributes 6 points, yeah, 3 rebounds, 15 minutes. It's just far too high a number.
I feel like you could do that.
I probably couldn't. No. But you know what? Put in the right system. Give them the right system. So that's the problem. They have too large of a middle class in the NBA. You know, the middle class is too big. Kobe, 25, 30, 40 million. He's worth every cent. LeBron James, Dirk Nowitzki, all that. Yes, get it. Stars are worth it because that's what people are coming to see.
Right.
It's an individual sport. You know, that's why you go to these games, not to see the 76ers, but to go see Allen Iverson when he was the best player. So what they have, though, is, and I feel so bad that he's the face of this middle class, you have Luke Walton making $6.5 million a year. And for as great a guy as he is, for as good a team player as he is, that guy's skill set is not worth $6.5 million a year.
Great example.
And Luke is just one of 100 guys that make that amount of money.
That makes so much sense when you explain it that way.
Yes, but if that's the case, why don't all the owners get together, because they all have to get together anyway to talk about the lockout, and say, let's have no one offer Luke Walton
right,
that much
because
money.
That'd be collusion. And then Luke and the players could take him to court and get triple what their salary would have been. So what happens is, you're the Lakers. Luke has one good year, you know, averages 11 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Phoenix Suns say, you know, a guy like that would be great in our system. The Suns are in the Lakers division. They freak out and they're like, God, we can't, if we let him go, of all places, the Suns have been kicking our ass now for a couple years. And they give him the deal. And that's what's happened. And it's kind of built into these teams that have guys making $10, $12, $14 million a year that have no business doing it.
Okay. Usually in situations like this, we say they're not having any meetings, but they understand that eventually if the sport is going to be played again, they're going to have to compromise. Is that not the case in this one?
That is not the case.
The owners do not have to compromise. They could just take their ball and go home.
Yeah, I was talking to someone that works with an NBA team. I bumped into him, and he said, you know, I said, you know, they're going to do what the NHL did, which is lock out an entire season unless the players agree to their deal. And he said, yeah, man, the NHL players caved. I said, they caved. They sat out a full season, and the owners told them they would sit out another season.
And that's a short career to sit out a whole season.
And let alone two, and basically they did as best as they could. I mean, they sat out a full year, refused to compromise, and the owners just said before the start of that second lockout year, no, we're not moving, and that's how they got the system.
What are the union reps for the players saying? Are they aware of that?
Yeah,
certainly?
They're saying how there's an $800 million gap. How are we supposed to accept a deal that asks us to take an $800 million pay cut when we know that they're not losing $800 million?
Right.
That just, those numbers don't add up.
It's unfair.
And my point is, where's the compromise? You know,
right.
I don't know if saying, well, we came $400 million off our number, that doesn't sound like a healthy compromise.
All right,
for
last
either
question
side.
On this, Money. What's to stop these players who are locked out from saying, oh, yeah? Well, we'll go over here and we'll start the NBA 2.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I brought up, and it surprises me with the amount of smart people they have that are agents, guys like Bartelstein and Jeff Schwartz. These are some of the biggest agents that rep the biggest players. He said, you would assume that all those corporate dollars that normally would be spent on the NBA, they could. Because let's face it, the corporations, they don't give a crap what the NBA thinks about them. It's not like the NBA is going to say, hey, screw you, Nike, for sponsoring this summer league. You really messed us up. They don't care. They need to find a corporate sponsor and have just a barnstorming tour. Get 90 guys that are playing for 2 weeks in a major city, you know, that you know, maybe Team Adidas, Team Nike, Vitamin Water's involved, the normal NBA sponsors, and you go from L.A., to Phoenix, to Vegas, to Dallas, and you just keep doing it because guess what? You got $15 tickets. Most of your money is subsidized by a corporation. You're going to pack the house. You're going to sell merch. They're going to to sell shoes. They're going to sell water. And they can prolong the lockout and find themselves a position of power that the owners assume they don't have, which is, well, as soon as they run out of their money, they're going to come crawling back.
That would be interesting.
So that's what I think is in the mix right now, because those are the feel-good stories. Kevin Durant at Rucker Park, Kobe Bryant at Drew League in South Central, hitting that game winner and being carried off the floor by a bunch of inner-city kids, you know, that normally wouldn't get to see him play. Those are the things that endear the players' cause to the general fan, and don't say, oh, it's millionaires versus billionaires. They say, hey, look, this is pretty fun watching these guys play basketball. We got to get back to it.
Very interesting. All right, another quick break. Our guest is Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Show. Petros and Money is the Twitter address. PetrosandMoney.com is the website to find a station near you. We'll return after this on the Kevin and Bean. Hey, quick programming note. You've been hearing us talk about the Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You can hear it Monday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Band performing live, our interviews, listeners' interviews. We got questions for them. The new album comes out that day. I'm with you. Red Hot Chili Peppers right here on Monday. Matt Money Smith is here. Before we talk Kardashians, which is really the reason we're all here, the reason we all got up this morning to come in here.
I want to ask subject.
Your opinion on one more thing that we rarely get the opportunity to talk to you about when you stop in, and that is we had the president on, Dana White, a couple of days ago, talking about his new UFC deal with Fox, talking about getting that sport, which is already so popular in front of millions of people who maybe have never seen it before. You know, he's long said that at one point UFC is going to be the biggest sport in the world. He predicted that it's going to be bigger than the NFL one day. That may be crazy. But how much room for growth is there in this sport, and what do you think it's going to be like on free TV?
Well, I think he does a great job. You know, he does a great job of cultivating personalities, and that is what that sport is all about. You know, the violence can turn some people off because it's a violent sport. It can get uncomfortable. There can be blood. It's not nice seeing people choked out and having to tap out because they're about to pass out.
I don't mind that, but I'm not a big fan of blood, so I always turn my head away.
But what he does is he creates stars, you know?
There's so many stars in the UFC, so many huge names.
And you've talked to a lot of them. When you put Chuck Liddell on or Randy Couture, they're great interviews.
Yeah.
They're
Anderson,
compelling
Tito,
stories.
All of them, yeah.
And I think that's what's going to push that sport to the next level is people, you know, when they put it on Fox, it's not going to be like one of their pay-per-views where it's 2.5 hours of just the fight and fight analysis. It's going to be a capsule of, hey, here's Chuck Liddell. He went to Cal Poly and graduated cum laude in math. You know, here's Randy Couture. There's Anderson Silva. I mean, their stories are compelling, and it'll be, I think, more of a People Magazine Olympics-style coverage where you're going to get to know the guys, and they're very likable, and it's just this great dichotomy. They get into the octagon, and they beat
monsters.
The living crap out of one another, and I think that makes for a compelling product. I mean, you know, you look at, it's going to be, I think it's Bones Jones against Rampage. It is September 24th. That's their pay-per-view after the one this weekend. And then right after that, that's going to launch into the November 12th debut.
You think it'll do well, though? Think it'll be a big sport on television?
I do. I do. Just because clearly we like violence, you know. And when you look at how well those HBO 24/7s do before the fights, you can't argue with the numbers for The Ultimate Fighter, their reality show that was on Spike, and they're going to now move and have live fights every Friday night. People like it.
They enjoy
that storyline, yeah. And Dana's great. He's as good an interview as you will ever find. He's so honest.
He's the best.
Yeah.
All right. In our remaining moments, Kevin?
Kim Kardashian's marriage, pool.
Okay.
Now, let's face it. They've already exceeded many expectations because they got married on Saturday. What's today? Wednesday?
Today.
Still together. As far as we know, they're still together.
72 hours.
Now, to us, from the outside, that looks like that would be a living hell to be in that family with all those cameras and all those egos.
And your mother-in-law. Oh, can you imagine
your
having to deal with her?
So, but then you've got he's an NBA player. Well, so in normal seasons, he'll be away a lot.
Right.
And that makes it easier.
And you also have, imagine tapping that ass. You have that. You've got to factor in that. He's going to put up with a lot of BS to continue to have sex with Kim Kardashian, right?
So how long will the marriage last?
Did you guys do the Lamar Odom, Khloe Kardashian marriage pool?
We did. And
I assume nobody.
Nobody predicted it would last this long.
Right.
Nobody.
That's the only thing I'm wondering is if there's so much money. The Kardashians show makes an obscene amount of money. It's inexplicable. So I wonder if there's that financial incentive.
So you think it might go longer?
It's a corporate partnership.
I'm going to do The Price is Right. I'm going to do the opposite of The Price is Right. I'm going to let all of you bid, and then I'm going to do like the $1.
No,
I'm going to go.
We're not
I'm going to go.
You do that.
I'm going to go one day beyond and go for the long term.
No, because you can guess over. It's not like The Price is Right. You can guess
over. Whoever's closer, but you can guess over.
All right.
I'm going to go. I think they'll make it 6 months.
What's fascinating is if they make it 6 months, they will have been together a year as a couple. Remember, they only dated for 6 months before they got married.
I'm going 6 months.
Six months? Good guess. That's a strong guess, Kevin.
All right, Bean?
Boy, I don't know. She's 30. She wants to have kids. You know, that to me is another reason why they might stay together longer. That's an anchor. I mean, it's crazy for me to make a prediction like this because none of us will be on the air when this comes true, but I think it's going to last like 4 years.
What?
I do. I think it's going to last like 4 years.
No way.
All right.
That's
out.
A long time.
So I'm out.
He's out, Lisa.
You do know that Ray J sent a message out on the day of the wedding, right? You know that he reminded Chris.
Yes.
That, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He did.
Whoa.
Lisa?
I'm the reason she is famous.
I'm thinking 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
All right.
So Lisa believes in love also. 2 years in Hollywood. That's practically golden anniversary.
You're right.
So I'm 6 months. Lisa's 2 years. Bean's 4 years. Money?
I'm going to go with
4 years in one day?
No, I'm going to go 2 months.
Two months?
Yeah. I'm going to go. I think there's going to be some scandal that rocks the marriage, much like we had going into the wedding.
Right.
I don't know what side it's going to come from. I don't know if it's, you know, Chris
Probably
Humphries
theirs.
Signs the play in CSKA Moscow and falls in love with one of those big-breasted Russian models. He just doesn't want to come back. But I think some scandal will rock the marriage.
All right,
and it will be just 2 months.
What kind of credits are we putting in?
I think 20 credits.
20 credits?
Okay. Yeah. That's a nice payday. If it were real money, it would be a nice payday.
Yeah.
Of course, we're not wagering because that would be legal. But,
right.
All right. So 20 credits. All right.
And pay the man. And then we got to go.
Well, not right now. At the end of the season, you'll be getting your money.
But you owe him right now.
Matt Money Smith has been our guest. The Petras and Money Show all across this great land of ours. Thanks for coming in, Money.
Happy to do it.
Last night, they had a big Scarface party where they reunited Oliver Stone, who wrote the movie, with Brian De Palma, the director, and Al Pacino was there, and Robert Loggia was there, and all the stars of the film talking about the new Blu-ray re-release of Scarface that's coming out. And it was an event that was broadcast live through moviephone.com on the internet. Our own Psycho Mike was the moderator of the event.
What?
Psycho Mike is the guy who's up on stage interviewing Al Pacino. And I'm thinking, in what world are we living that this is a happening thing?
Huh.
Right?
Hmm. Loveline lover boy, Mike Catherwood.
Yeah. Exactly. Psycho Mike's stopping by tomorrow. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to him about what it's like hanging out with Al Pacino. But Scarface is back, coming out on Blu-ray from Universal Home Entertainment. We have a pair of passes for you to see the film on the big screen for the first time in 30 years. That's going to be for one night only on Wednesday, August 31st. So if you want to see some Scarface in a theater, call us now, 1-800-520-1067, and win from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Jimmy Kimmel's uncle, unfortunately, Frank, died yesterday.
Hmm.
I was sad to see that. He
Me too. Love
he,
Frank.
What an amazing guy he was. We had him in as a guest. Jimmy loved him.
Yeah.
And he was full of life.
He was hilarious on that TV show. He was a big addition to Jimmy's show. He and Guillermo do a lot of sketches with Jimmy, and we had the opportunity to meet Frank a bunch of times, have him on the show as a guest, and the stories he would tell about the many years that he spent as a New York City policeman. I mean, the guy was really a character, and everyone was in a better world having met Uncle Frank. So our sympathy goes out to Jimmy and the whole family over there at Jimmy Kimmel Live. Changing topics, and it's not easy to do, but Salil Moon Frye is pushing a book. She is a Punky Brewster, don't you know? Famous from that TV show. She told a story that I've never heard before on this book tour. She said when she was about 8 years old, she visited Michael Jackson at the Neverland Ranch.
What?
And I know what you're thinking. She's a girl.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
What's up with that? I would like more details, but here's what the report says. She said she had a weirdly adult conversation with him about his life while they shared a hot tub together.
What? How old was she?
She was 8 years old at the time.
Hmm.
And she was in a hot tub with Michael Jackson having a weirdly adult conversation. Now, what was that conversation like? What could it have been about?
Well, she said about his life, so he must have been talking about...
big issues?
Like,
you know?
Yeah, what it's like to be Michael Jackson and...
Probably, is there a God and time and space, future travel, that kind of stuff.
But what's going on with Michael Jackson where he opens up to his new therapist, Punky Brewster? 8-year-old Punky Brewster in the hot tub.
That's a good question.
Anyway, that's a crazy story.
Top 10 TV shows this week. NFL preseason football is number one. Number two and number three, America's Got Talent.
Yeah, it's huge.
Number four, NCIS. Number five, preseason football. Number six, Big Brother 13.
What?
Number seven, Big Brother 13.
Didn't even know it was on.
Number 8, NCIS Los Angeles. Number 9, 60 Minutes. Number 10, Big Brother 13.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got that.
I don't watch any of the shows on CBS, as you know, so I'm always amazed when I see those lists at how popular a network it is. And Big Brother 13, how can it be the 13th Big Brother? Who can continue to watch that show?
I don't know.
Here's a quick note about television this weekend. The 2011 MTV Video Music Awards are airing live from the Nokia Theater, Los Angeles, this Sunday night at 9 p.m., of course, on MTV. There is no host this year, which is a surprise to me. Last year, Chelsea Handler was the host, and the show had its highest ratings in 9 years. A lot of talent appearing, though. Adele is going to be performing, Lil Wayne, Chris Brown, Young the Giant, Bruno Mars. Tony Bennett is going to be part of an all-star tribute to Amy Winehouse that's also going to include Adele and Lady Gaga. And I'm sure, as is always the case with the MTV Video Music Awards, there are surprises, things that we'll all be talking about on Monday that we don't know about yet. But it seems like kind of a low-energy buzz this year.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like there's that one performance that everybody's talking about, or that one presenter or band that's getting back together, or new song that's being premiered, or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like in past years with Pee Wee and some other things, maybe there'll be a surprise, something we don't know about yet that's going to be awesome.
Celebrity birthdays, actor Kenny Baker. You might know him as that sound. 77 years old. Talk show host Craig Kilborn's birthday. David Koechner. Marley Matlin.
Ooh.
Dave Chappelle is having a birthday today. And Rupert Grint of Harry Potter film fame is 23 years old. And that is the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 9:41.
Hi, producer Alex. Being said in not a creepy way.
So what you're telling me is there's
better.
A triple stuffed Oreo
yes.
with chocolate.
Yes.
Vanilla and chocolate?
Mm-hmm. Triple cookie, two double stuffed Oreos in the same cookie. Yes, one vanilla, one chocolate.
How
it looks,
did,
it I does look know. Like the best thing that's ever been invented. Yes.
I have to eat a box and then take a nap. That
I
sounds
know.
Like the best thing ever.
And then eat another
and
box.
And then have another box. Fantastic.
We got to get some Oreos in here. That's all I can think about now. We've been talking about Oreos. All right, time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph is out for a couple of days. Producer Alex filling in this hour. What's going on?
Kim Kardashian got married.
What?
For
was
love.
This in the news?
Or a TV show. Whatever. Yeah, so apparently she got married, blah, 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 whatever. But the funniest story was, of course, on TMZ. They posted that KimKSuperstar.com, if you're not familiar, that
is
her
the website?
Porn site. Because that's the only thing she's ever done, let's face it. She's
got
famous
it.
For a sex tape. If Joel McHale can't say it on The Soup, I can say it here.
Sure.
So her website exploded, no pun intended, over the weekend.
So did I.
With traffic. Apparently, in honor, you know, to celebrate the wedding, the website received 2 million visitors between Friday and Sunday night.
Wow. That seems like an increase.
The average amount of visitors per month is 300,000. They went from 300,000 in 30 days to 2 million people in 72 hours.
Well, wow. This is just a lot of people who see Kim Kardashian on Access Hollywood or something, and they go, hey, she's really hot. Oh, wait, she has a sex tape? And they go and check it out because maybe they haven't seen it before.
The number one country that was searching mm-hmm. for her on Google? Ireland.
Really?
All right. Maybe not a lot of hot Armenians in Ireland.
Maybe
so
not.
They're,
very exotic
they,
over
they
there.
They find her exotic. The sad thing, too, is if you go on TMZ and look at the photo of Kim back in the day, she's infinitely prettier. She has not screwed up her face.
Yeah. Has she had
looks
a lot of
normal.
Plastic surgery?
She does the full-on drag queen. She now looks like a male drag queen version of herself, which is sad. She's going down the Pam Anderson route.
Right. Kind of cartoonish.
She Fs up her lips. Yeah, I just... Kim.
She does look like
Wipe
she's had
off.
A team work on her for mm-hmm. 4 hours before she leaves the
oh,
house
easy.
Ever, ever
yeah.
anymore.
She seems pretty enough. She certainly doesn't need to do that.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Ladies, you're pretty. Stop it.
Well, not and, all. And, not all. Hang on.
And Ray J, next time, how about a little less of you, maybe a little more of Kim?
How lucky
right?
is Ray J?
Yeah.
He picked the right sister.
Yes,
can you imagine
did.
If he tried to make that tape with Chloe?
Yep. But Bean is right. That sex tape is all Ray J standing in front of the camera talking. And then if you can glance at Kim over his shoulder, you
Dude,
can see her.
She should send him a thank you card once
yeah,
a year. It's the only
true.
Reason she's famous. This is the best Will Smith story I've ever heard.
Well, they broke up, you know. He
I'm
and
telling
Gina.
You right now, it's alleged, but I hope it's true only because it's so random.
Okay.
This is the real reason, apparently, that Will Smith allegedly might be leaving Jada Pinkett Smith.
Okay.
He walked in on Jada with her Hawthorne co-star, Mark Anthony.
Is it real?
He reportedly walked into his home to find
that.
Mark and Jada together and then left crying.
Would that explain another recent celebrity separation as well, Mark Anthony?
This is what I'm saying. Thank you, Bean. Wow. Apparently, Mark has been over to their house frequently to, quote, look at DVDs.
What?
Which is my new favorite thing for... Yeah, I'm going to go with my coworker to, look at some DVDs, honey. We'll be right back. So, I don't know if that's true. How you go from Will Smith to Skeletor, I have
no idea. That's a downgrade.
That's bananas.
But sometimes, you know, the best food in the world, but you've had it too many days in a row, something you don't like as much, all of a sudden sounds appetizing.
It's true.
Then you realize when you're done, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
This is a public service announcement to all women at clubs, anywhere. If you see Joe Francis, turn around and walk away. Leave Joe Francis alone.
Yeah, he's the Girls Gone Wild dude.
Correct. He was arrested again. He's surely racking them up before the age of 50. He's been arrested more than anyone I've ever known.
Apparently,
he was at a club. Three women were on their way out, ready to walk to their cars. And he said, hey, ladies, don't walk to your cars. It's late at night. You've had something to drink. Come with me in my car. I will drive you in the safety of my vehicle to your vehicle. So they got in his car.
Dumb.
First mistake.
How far away was their car?
I don't know. Six blocks?
I mean,
you know how you go to, you don't know, but women go to clubs in really high heels and stuff. I could totally see not wanting to walk a couple of blocks.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. All you want to do is take off your high heels.
Right.
I get it. However, if you hop in Joe Francis's car, he's going to just bypass your ride and take you to his mansion and then not let you leave.
Yeah, I sense that he puts the kitty locks on, too, in the
this
whole car
good.
Once you get in.
Sounds
he
bad.
He allegedly... locked the women in his house, grabbed one of them by the throat and hair, and then slammed her head into the tiled floor of his home four times.
That's not as good as a Girls Gone Wild video.
He turned himself over to authorities on three misdemeanor counts of false imprisonment, one count of assault causing great bodily injury, and one count of dissuading a witness from making a report, which to me is the shadiest charge of all. Basically trying to pay these girls off or tell them, don't call the cops. Now, according to Joe, this is all a big misunderstanding, guys. She must have fallen and hurt her head.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, apparently the girls were fighting each other. So that's
over
why.
Him?
Yeah, thank you. So he was booked. He's out on custody for $50,000. But what have we learned? You program Yellow Cab in your phone, and then you call that when you're drunk at 2 a.m.
You have made bad choices.
And why does a guy like Joe Francis, who should be waking up every single day kissing the ground, what a life he has. He's a multi-millionaire.
He's still an a-hole, dude.
From having girls lift their tops. Why can't he be grateful for that and never get into any trouble because his life is so awesome?
He strikes me as just a straight-up slime ball and that he couldn't understand why a girl wouldn't want to go home with him.
Yeah, maybe so.
And so how dare they have the gall just to leave?
I heard he did it with Mark Anthony.
Well, that happened. Mm. Yeah. And then Will Smith
allegedly
left crying. I need to date Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
Because
I
want a new car. Screw going on Price is Right. Apparently, if you date Leonardo DiCaprio for a couple months, he buys you a new Prius. It's exactly what he did for Blake Lively.
All right.
Apparently, he was so upset that she was driving her gas-guzzling Range Rover. Leo's a big environmentalist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So he bought her a $40,000 car.
Hey, I drive a Range Rover. Come on, Leo.
As you do. Yeah, what the hell? And then Jennifer Aniston... bought her new boyfriend, Justin Theroux, a $12,000 jacket that was James Dean's.
Wow.
It's pretty sweet.
And they've only been dating since May.
Yeah.
Wow. Everything seems to be accelerated when you're a celebrity.
I guess. What's next? You buy me a castle? If you start with a car and, you know, a valuable, you know, memorabilia, where do you go? Would you like a trip to space? I don't, you know.
Yeah. That's the second one, and then you're out.
You're done.
There aren't very many circumstances where you buy another person a car.
It strikes me as a little bit of a smack, though. Like, she's got this Range Rover she loves, and he doesn't approve. And so it's like, here,
drive what I want you to drive.
Yeah. She could also afford to buy her own Prius.
Want to.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway. All right. Happy birthday to comedian Dave Chappelle, actor Chad Michael Murray, and Ron Weasley, my redheaded brother from the Harry Potter films. He is 23 today. That'd be Rupert Grint. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Alex. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show from the new movie Columbiana. This looks awesome. Zoe Saldana.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is that? What happened in that one?
They killed her whole family, so she goes and destroys the world.
Okay.
She kicks
major ass.
And
a tight wife beater and a shotgun.
That's
great.
How you do it. Yeah.
Kathy Griffin will be in studio. Very funny. Mm-hmm. Psycho Mike will be in studio. Not quite as funny. And a brand new Kevin and Bean internet roundup tomorrow morning on an all-new show.